From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's May the 15th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And we'll discuss today's cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, the House and the Senate have both passed a veto-proof farm bill. And now that legislation heads to the president's desk. Dave Dickey will have details later. At the end of this half hour, Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580 Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby July wheat, $8.21.5, 10.5 higher for the day. September, these are the Kansas City numbers, 8.31 up 9.25. July in Chicago, up 7.5 cents at $7.71.5. And September futures there at $7.86, 7.75 higher for the day. December contract, 8.06 up 6.75 for the wheat. Corn futures in Chicago, July contract, $5.99, up 2.75. September up 3 cents at $6.11.25. And December futures, 6.22.5, up 2 for the day. March contract, 6.34.75, 2 cents higher, too. Soy complex, July beans, $13.47.5, down 32. August at $13.47, 29.5 lower. And September down 21 cents today at $13.28. November beans, $13.19.25, down 13.75. Live cattle futures June contract, 94.35, down 27.5. August at 99.50, down 72.5. May feeder cattle at 108.60, 15 higher. August contract at 113.27.5, 52.5 cents higher. And June lean hog futures, $77, 7.5 cents, down $1.10. July futures there at $77.05, down 40 cents. Complex for the soybeans now. Let's take a look at the numbers in the day trade for the bean meal contract. July at 351, 73, 48, 70 higher. And July there at 61.50, up 147 for the day. Meal at 670 higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside market looks like at this hour. June crude oil futures, $122.75 a barrel. They're trading down $1.47 at this hour. July futures at $122.60. down 151. June ethanol futures at $2.45.4, down 3.7. July futures at $2.45.7 a gallon, down 1.1 for the day. Natural gas futures are trading the nearby June contract at $11.36.8, 23 cents lower. July futures down 20.6 at $11.53.2 for the day. June heating oil, this also can be construed as diesel fuel, $3.62.2 for the day, down 22 hundredths, and July futures are down 41 hundredths at $3.62.65. June propane at $1.71.75 on the afternoon. May gold futures at $879 an ounce now, $13.60 higher. June futures at $880, up $13.50. The U.S. dollar is trading at 73.37. That's down 0.02 for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,956. It's just about 58 points lower for the day. The CRB index at 420.03 is down 1.98 for the afternoon. A quick look at the two-state forecast says tonight in northern Illinois to be mostly cloudy. In northern Indiana, it'll be mostly cloudy as well. In central Illinois, cloudy, some scattered showers during the evening hours. Then becoming partly cloudy after midnight. In central Indiana and the south, cloudy, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Those will taper off overnight. Lows will range from 43 in northern Illinois to 52 in the far south. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from WILL.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the futures markets is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Well, I think the corn's probably shivering across a good portion of the Midwest today. It might want to go back in the ground as opposed to pop up. What do the markets think about the weather?
Well, I think the market is accepting the fact, or, you know, to the point that, yes, the corn crop is going to get planted. And I think, you know, and what they're looking at is we did make good progress there last week. We look at the weather forecast. It's more favorable toward planting. Yes, it's cold. Yes, we have slow growth, slow development. But at this point in time, it's the planting, I guess, stupid. If we get it planted, then the market will then refocus itself on crop prospects, yield prospects, you know, whether it's slow development, that kind of stuff. But I think what we're at here is kind of a relaxation that, yes, the crop's going to get planted. It may not be in the best shape. It may not have gone in the best way, but it's gotten planted. And then, of course, with the Infoma number showing that we maybe picked up 1 million acres or so, I think that, you know, kind of added kind of a negative twist to the corn market. But, you know, even with the crop getting planted and even with maybe 1 million increase in acres, the supply-demand tables are just going to be extremely tight on corn, and it's going to be difficult, I think, to see any sustained move to the downside until we get a lot further along on the overall crop prospects.
Anything on the charts that was interesting along with the May expirations yesterday, corn, soybeans, wheat?
Well, corn, I think everybody that follows moving averages got zapped here today because we did go down underneath the 50-day moving average. So anybody that was selling declines underneath 50-day moving average got trapped. The big story, I think, here today is the big rally in crude oil prices off its low. That is what's kind of triggered, I think, a whole short-covering activity in corn. I think that was one of the main reasons why it brought corn off its lows, is that we saw a $3 rally in crude oil prices here in the last hour of trade, and that lifted corn higher, and then that was able to bring beans off their lows. I mean, beans were down 50, 60 cents there for a while, and now only being down 30 cents. So I think technically everything stays in a sideways to higher trend. I think there was some danger signs, maybe it was trip, but the way the market closed, I think everything is still kind of in a sideways holding pattern. I think waiting for either realization that we're going to go ahead and have a good crop, the weather is going to switch over to a much nicer growing season, and or is going to be acceptance of the fact that we're just not going to maybe meet some of these upside yield protection or yield projections that some people would kind of like to see.
Last week we talked about an upside potential. I think the first stop maybe it's 690 and then it's 720, though still somewhere down the road in the
Those are still in play. I don't, you know, the fundamental picture is still probably a little fuzzy on that, but we're basically in a big broad-based trading range on corn. I think corn did what it needed to do today. It did hold the levels and come back now and reverse higher. So I think the downside risk is at least minimal at the moment, and it's, you know, more in a sideways mode. I think cyclically I could maybe read this as this week as an upturn in a 7-week cycle in the making. And if that's the case, then we probably got 3 to 4 weeks up, and I think that's going to be, you know, tossing and turning over the early start to the crop season.
What would put that in place for you on the weekly chart? What would that look like? I mean, I understand the reverse up that we had a lower low today and a higher close than yesterday, but what would you see on the weekly chart that would?
Well, what we'd have to do is probably see. Last week we had a big outside week. So far this week is inside that week. So what I would want to see is early next week that we take out this week's high. I think then would trip the trigger on that, and I think that would open up the gates then from a cyclical point of view to see 3 to 4 weeks of price strength.
You'd want to take out this week's high and last week's high too, which is also the contract highs?
Well, yeah, last week's high, remember we had a big outside up week.
Right.
Okay, so far this week's action has held inside that.
Correct.
Okay, so we got an inside week. So what I would, from a technical point of view, is next week, the old theory of once you have an inside day or inside week is that the next week or the next day, you watch whether or not it penetrates the high or low of that inside day, and then that sets the trend up then for 3 or 4 days or weeks.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
I think that's about it.
All right. Thanks much, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon. You can listen to what Dan had to say again if you'd like. It's right there on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
The Senate has been busy in Washington, D.C. Dave Dickey is here now with that story for the Ag News.
In agricultural news, the Farm Bill is now headed to the President's desk for consideration. This morning, the U.S. Senate passed the $290 billion Farm Bill conference report by an 81-15 vote. That's 14 votes more than needed to override a promised veto from President George Bush, who says the measure is too expensive and lacks needed reform. Yesterday, the U.S. House approved the Farm Bill conference report by a veto-proof majority of 318-106. Democrat House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the new Farm Bill is the most significant reform in 30 years. About two-thirds of the bill would pay for nutrition programs such as food stamps and emergency food aid for the needy. But a few lawmakers from Farm Bill states remain unhappy. Indiana Senator Richard Lugar, who voted against the measure, criticized the bill's lack of reform in commodity programs. In Lugar's words, the Farm Bill contains a set of antiquated programs that send a majority of payments only to farmers earning over $200,000. But Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says additional reform was not possible. In Reid's words, if we'd done more, we wouldn't have gotten a bill. Washington Insider reports the Bush administration may attempt a partial acceptance strategy, looking to attract veto support by offering to accept the nutrition and conservation parts of the bill, while at the same time requiring more spending cuts, fewer budget time shifts, and tighter payment limits. National Farmers Union President Tom Bias says the Farm Bill is not perfect, but the president should reconsider his veto threat. The House Small Business Committee is holding a hearing today to examine the reasons for the recent run-up in food prices. Lawmakers are hearing testimony from the restaurant, baking, and grocery manufacturing industries. Meanwhile, a House Agriculture Subcommittee chaired by North Carolina Democrat Bob Etheridge will hold a hearing on the volatility of energy and agricultural futures. Deere & Company says it expects global agricultural equipment sales to jump nearly 35% in its current fiscal year. The Moline, Illinois company reports a 22% increase in fiscal second quarter profits, but left its full year profit goal unchanged due to rising costs for steel and transportation. And Japanese tofu makers say their profit margins have been hit hard by the rising costs of soybeans and fewer producers choosing to grow non-GMO crops. Japan relies on imports for 95% of its soybeans. Almost 4% of Japan's tofu producers closed their doors in 2006. And a spokesperson from Japan's National Association of Tofu Merchants says 2008 has been an extremely difficult year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at the WILL radio stations, public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. You can find those two programs there and listen to them as MP3 files or download them directly to your computer as a podcast. There's other agricultural programming there as well, including a weekend newsletter. It's all free. If you'd like the newsletter, just hit subscribe. It's over on the right-hand side of the page. We'd be glad to send it to you this weekend at WILLAG.org. Now, up next, you know, the old bean-walking crew? Well, it could be making a comeback. Monsanto's Roundup, known generically as glyphosate, made it easy to control weeds in soybeans. The majority of the soybeans raised in the U.S. can be sprayed with this herbicide after they come up. They can be sprayed with other types of herbicides, too. The problem today is that many weeds, including water hemp, are becoming resistant to some or all of the soybean post-emergence herbicides. And with no new active ingredients in the pipeline, University of Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager says it means farmers may have to bring back an old standby, the bean-walking crew, to keep weed competition in check.
Hand weeding, certainly, especially in row spacings that wouldn't facilitate inter-row cultivation. However, of course, that would be labor-intensive. It would certainly be better than having to deal with no control of the population or very poor control of the whatever level of population that may be in a particular field. Do keep in mind, of course, that these water hemp female plants are capable of making a tremendous amount of seed, and any seed that a female makes does have the potential to have one or more of these herbicide resistance characteristics passed on to this next generation.
So the soybean walking crew, or some other form of mechanical removal of the resistant weeds, will be a vital part of the farmer's arsenal once again. In the case that these resistant weeds manage to make it all the way through the season, Aaron Hager advises farmers to harvest those fields last.
And the reason would be that if you would, say, in the fall of the year, harvest that particular field first, if you had female plants that were able to make seed, were successful in producing seed, if you run those female plants now through your combine, you can potentially spread those seed now to every field that you go to subsequent to that field.
If resistant weeds have yet to develop in a farm field, the weed scientists at the U of I say it is imperative the herbicides used are rotated based on both the mode of action and the site of action, or how it works and where it works in the plant. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Brady Allison in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Bill Mayer of Rochag Marketing, located at the Elevator in Lexington, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Boy, it's just cold outside today. I'll bet farmers are concerned about their corn crop and its ability to come out of the ground if it hasn't already, and its ability to grow if it has.
Yeah, it's they're getting a little pacing a lot here, although I would say, really, in this area, my drive back and forth, I mean, the corn seems to be coming out of the ground pretty good, and of course, when it gets that moisture in the dark soil, it always has that contrast, too, but it looks like things are coming up pretty even. It would just be nice to get some warmer days, and the forecast did warm up a little bit here today.
Yeah, I made a trip south of Champaign towards Philo, which is 7, 8, 9 miles and through the countryside, and everything actually looked pretty decent. Certainly that which was up came up pretty even, although a bit yellow, I think, at this point. So we'll see. That's probably part and parcel of having so much water on it, but we'll see how it all goes.
There is some concern about the soybeans, I think, that are in the ground.
Yeah, I'll bet there are. That then they may have to get a hoe out to get those things up if it dries out very quickly, I suppose, just to break a crust out. But we're not worried about that one just yet. Tell me what's happening in the cash grain market, please.
Well, this past week we did see, especially early in this week that we're in, quite a bit of cash movement, really, as we got the rains and farmers, a lot of them had May or June contracts sold and made some deliveries on that. So we have seen some grain movement, and the basis kind of reflects that. Really not much going on, but if anything, a little bit weaker on both corn and soybeans.
And then if you take a look at the futures markets, what do you see in the spreads? Old crop, new crop, does it tell you anything yet?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting. The carry in the market is kind of came back in. The carry from on the corn from old crop to new crop has gotten better over the last week to 10 days. And I think that's really just telling us that there is maybe a little bit of relaxation, that we've got enough old crop corn to get us through here, and, you know, we're not going to be too tight. On the soybeans, the same thing, although we've still got an inverse. The old crop is higher than the new crop. It's a lot less. In fact, today at one point, the difference between the July beans and the November beans on the board was about 25 cents. So that's come in a bunch. And again, I think it's just kind of telling us that the trade feels that maybe there's enough of a reduction in demand that we're okay and going to get by here.
And then when do you think the trade really might get concerned about the crop getting in the ground? Are we looking at the Western Corn Belt drying out enough, do you think, that farmers in Iowa and Minnesota will be able to get in and get a good portion of that planted? I know that our agricultural meteorologists are saying that should be happening. Are you hearing that it is?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, because it is so spotty within the states, let alone within the country, as to what's going on. I think there has been some activity in the western part of the belt. Very little in the east this week. The old adage as far as 50% by the middle of May, we met that. I think that's one reason we've seen the prices move lower here this week. But I think we're, to answer your question there, I think we're going to be concerned about it as we go through all the way through the summer. I mean, I would agree that with what Dan said earlier, this supply demand is tight enough on both sides of the equation that I'm not sure we're going to be able to just completely relax for quite a while yet.
What are your bids for the day there in Lexington?
I don't know.
That's okay.
I forgot to get those, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't worry about it, Bill. That's fine. We can look them up, or they can look them up online, okay?
Yeah.
Thanks much. Bill Mayer is with Rochag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. Now, you can't see the Lexington bids on our website, but I urge you to visit it anyway. It's willag.org. That's willag.org. In 2 minutes, we'll try to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us then.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A coroner's jury was unable to reach a clear conclusion today on what exactly killed Naomi Arnett. The remains of the Sadorus woman were found in a shallow grave near her home last September. Her estranged husband, Robert Arnett, awaits trial on murder charges. But Champaign County Coroner Dwayne Northrup says jurors told him they weren't given enough information to determine whether Naomi Arnett died of natural causes or was killed. The Muhammad Seymour School Board voted 5-0 last night to ask for a referendum in November for a countywide sales tax to pay for school building and renovations. So far, 13 out of 14 school boards in Champaign County have endorsed the 1 cent on the dollar sales tax for school facilities. The 14th, the Heritage School Board in Southeast Champaign County, will vote on the question next Wednesday. A Freeport-based investment group has bought a stalled biodiesel plant in Danville. Blackhawk Biofuels says they bought the plant from Biofuels Company of America, whose owners included agribusiness giant Bunge. Blackhawk's Quentin Davis says work on the plan had stopped with construction almost completed. The new owners plan to begin production at the plant by early next year. Davis says the plant will employ 35 people. A California firm plans to open a new call center in Terre Haute. Alorica expects to employ 600 people at the new facility housed in a local shopping center by 2009. Ameren says its new storm trailers will help in dealing with storm-related power outages. Storm trailers is what the company calls the two new semi-trailers parked at Ameren's Decatur facility. They're packed with wires, poles, and other supplies that can be driven to wherever storms hit in the utility's Illinois service area. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Joining us now on a Thursday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Peter Levitt. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's cold here. We're going to get warmer and drier.
Yes, we are. We've got to endure another few days of below normal temperatures. This month has actually been below normal across most of the northern half of the U.S., and we're going to see cool weather, 2 to 6 degrees below normal through Monday. But then strange things happen. We're going to see some warm weather shooting in without very much in the way of precipitation. And by middle of next week, we may see temperatures well up in the 80s in central Illinois. And in parts of Iowa, we may even see some 90s show up by in the middle part of the state by the latter part of next week. And so if we string all these relatively dry days together and with the warmer temperatures at the end, I think some real good opportunities for getting some of that late corn in will exist this coming week.
Boy, not only will it get into the ground, but it'll pop up out of the ground, and that which is already up will probably grow a foot if we put 80 degrees on it over a couple of days next week, I would think.
Right, that's probably in the Tuesday to Thursday section of next week. Then it cools off again, so that's why we call it a window of opportunity. And things go back to the same old grind when we get into the following week. And the last week of the month, I think we'll see the temperatures back near or below normal and some shower activity again. So this is the time to get out there and get it done.
Let me ask a couple of questions.
Uh-huh.
About the warm weather, is this one coming up from the south? Is it coming directly from the west? Where's that coming from? And then once we get back to the cold weather, is that a northern sort of thing that we've had that's been our persistent cool and wet over the last several months?
Yeah, that's what actually we've been in what's called a large amplitude pattern with a large, strong ridge in the west and a trough in the east, and that ridge-trough pattern gives you northwesterly flow of cold air. What's going to happen is the pattern's going to flatten out. We'll get into what we call a zonal flow, which is a west-to-east flow, and the ridge will extend eastward across the country, and those westerly winds are what are going to bring in the warm air. But that's just a transitional period, and I think with the persistence of our pattern, I expect to see that ridge building again the end of next week over the western part of the country, dropping cold air back down from the north. So it's just one of these phases of a shifting pattern which we get an opportunity to see some of that warm weather collect in the Rockies and come straight eastward for a few days late next week.
And we had a discussion yesterday about why that northern cold air continues to come down, and it had to do, I think, with some sea temperatures. Do you have other reasons?
Yeah, that is something called the PDO, the Pacific Decadal Oscillation. This is a pattern which has a cycle of about 60 years. You got 30 years in a warm cycle, 30 years or so in a cold cycle. We just ended a 30-year warm cycle, or nearly 30 years, late last year. And now we're in this cold cycle where we push cold air into the eastern Pacific. We build ridges up over North America. The ridge then directs the flow southward into the central portion of Canada and down into the U.S. And so we may be seeing a pattern that's extended for not just this season, but for several years. Now, every month isn't going to be cold or the like, but we're going to see a propensity for getting colder than normal temperatures, I think, over the next few years. And some of the people talking about this steady increase in climate warming have sort of put the brakes on it, at least for a while we go into this new shift in what's called the PDO. That's going to be our friend for the next few years on getting the cool air down from Canada and into the U.S.
Thanks much, Pete.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt, I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report.